back on Downtown. Yes, you can't get what you want till you know what you want. And what we want is lunch right now. As we welcome in Joe Riccio from Food Coma for this week's Shut Up and Eat. Hi there, Joe.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, you know, doing our thing. I was telling you there before we went on, flying solo while Carrie gets stuck in traffic in Tennessee.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely riveting.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine doing a long-distance drive in this weekend, but, you know, I guess the destination makes it worth it, right?
Yes, I believe that is the case. He's got things he's got to move in. This is his last trip down there as a tourist. Next time, he's there for keeps.
Yeah, how hot is it? Is that under the heat dome down there? Or?
It is. I think he told me they were supposed to be breaking out of it today or tomorrow, but they've had absolutely brutal conditions there.
Yeah, like I'm definitely not complaining about rain. Let's just put it that way.
No, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking nostalgic lunches today, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, you know, I mean, which I think I naturally, the minute I hear that, I start thinking about the cafeteria.
Yes. Well, it's funny you mentioned that because Carrie had a couple of things that he mentioned. And I said, well, I don't know. When I think nostalgic lunches, I think school lunch.
Yeah, totally. Right. And it was like always foods that, you know, they should taste good. But for some reason, I was always like, how do you make pizza not taste good? But they did. They used those little like cubes of like pepperoni and somehow made pizza flavorless and bad. I don't know. I feel like that's an achievement. I remember his name was Chef Chabot.
Wow.
That's all I remember. And he actually wore a chef's hat. And I don't know if you know, if that was his signature thing was flavorless pizza, if that's something he learned. But, you know, that I remember that. And, even burgers. You'd be like, wow, I don't understand how you've gone and made a burger. Were your cafeteria lunches good?
I don't think I ever ate hot lunch as a kid. I took my lunch every day.
Oh, yeah. I would do that, but then sometimes I'd get stoned and eat it in the first period. And then I'd have to buy lunch anyway.
But I've had the cafeteria burgers before, which it's remarkable how they're able to remove all flavor from that.
Yeah, it's almost like they're trying, because it's like they had that, it was like an initiative almost to like make things healthy, but they still weren't really healthy, but they didn't taste good. I mean, when I went to Chevre's, it was much better because we actually had it was like you pay for it. It was like a little, almost like a little restaurant in the cafeteria where you'd actually buy food like a la carte, and it wasn't just like, you know, served to you for free. So the quality was definitely better. I remember they had a breakfast sandwich called the Mr. Chevre's. Which was actually delicious. But, it's funny. When I think of, like, nostalgic lunches, I think of that. But I also think of, like, old versions of things that aren't good anymore. Well, I remember, like, when Subway first came out. And they used to, like, remember they used to cut the bread with, like, that different, it was like they cut that, like, like the piece off the top?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It wasn't really... and I remember thinking that was the greatest thing, and, like... I remember being like obsessed with Subway and like the barbecue rib sandwich they would do.
Oh yeah,
like that, a Mountain Dew and some French onion sun chips, and I was like, I was off to the races. It was like, you know, it's so funny. It's like all those things. I mean, I think actually now that I think about it, French onion sun chips and Cool Ranch Doritos played a big part of most of my good nostalgic lunches. But like, we had a place on the corner actually in Yarmouth, which is where Rosemont is now, but it used to be called Donatelli. And after every Little League game, we'd go there and you'd get like the one big slice of like thick pizza with the chips and you get a peach Snapple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, that was like, and it's like that same, like, you know, when I don't remember when I did that House of Pizza crawl back in the day for Dispatch magazine, but like, you realize that all the kind of these like sort of Greek-ish pizza places, like they're all kind of this. They all kind of have the same pizza. They're just like some have more like, you know, more sauce. Some have more cheese. Some are cooked a little more. Some it's like the crust is slightly different. But it's like I feel like the ingredients are always kind of the same. But it's all like very comforting
Now I would not take this to school, but you know, summertime, weekends, vacations, you know, a classic lunch would involve, well, I guess it depends on what you call it, where you were in the state. Did you call them subs? Did you call them Italian sandwiches, hoagies? What did you go with?
Well, we called them Italians if they were from, like, Amato's.
Mm.
You know, if it was, like, a main Italian. Otherwise, it was just like, actually, you know what? It's funny. I think there might have been sort of a blanket term, because it was like, anytime you ordered sandwiches, I mean, we'd always get, we were talking last week about the bulky roll. I would always get Bill's Pizza. They had the best chicken salad. I'm pretty sure it was turkey, but they called it chicken salad. but it was amazing. It was like shredded. And I always get that like on a bulky roll. But yeah, we'd get the Italians from Amato's. And that was when I first realized that I'm picky about tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
Like I was like, I don't like mealy. I always get no tomatoes on pretty much anything unless I know they're like decent tomatoes.
Yeah, and I don't want, you know, the big honking slice. I'd like them diced if I could.
Yeah, exactly. And I also don't like black olives on an Italian. I mean, again, like anybody from Italy or pretty much outside of Maine, you know, considers it sacrilege to refer to our sandwich as an Italian sandwich. But I don't really care because, you know, I like them. I like them for what they are, you know.
And I want, on my Italian, I want all the processed meats, please.
Oh, definitely the processed meats. And please hold the olive oil. I'll take the Amato's quote-unquote sandwich oil.
Oh, yes. Very nice.
Yeah, that's what they sell it as, sandwich oil. I think it might be a canola olive hybrid.
My favorite as a kid, like a teenager, even in college around here, was from Papa Gambino's, and they still make it. It's a sandwich called the Godfather, and it has got so much meat and cheese on it. The thing stands about 5 inches tall, and then I would get it with their hot sauce. And
nice. Did it have shredded lettuce on that? Like,
yes. Oh, yeah. Lettuce. Yeah. And lot of American cheese. Oh, just yeah. So good.
Oh, I'm actually hungry. That's kind of what I want to eat, like, right now.
Yeah. And then, you know, a bag of, not the Sun chips. I wanted the Humpty Dumpty barbecue chips.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I actually had a weird, I kind of like the Humpty Dumpty ketchup chip.
Oh, yes. And you know, all dressed. Delicious. The all dressed chip, which all is dressed. The best chip in the world.
Yeah, they're so good. That's like, you know, if I knew about the Crown Pilot cracker back then, I'm sure I'd miss that from back then too. But yes, in terms of discontinued things, I remember. And now you're a school teacher, so do they still do Book It? Like, used to be this program called Book It, where you would like read books, and as a result, you'd get like an ice cream social. And then
I think they
a thing for a personal pan pizza at Pizza Hut.
I don't know if they still do, but I remember them doing that. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Book It. That was the club. And I was all excited. And although I was always like, yeah, I'll do the personal pan pizza, but can I also get like a normal size pizza? Because I was, you know, fat kid. So like, it wasn't really, I was like, this is a personal size pizza for like a regular person. I want the full experience.
Oh, but boy, I like that personal pan pizza though. It wasn't enough, but I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of something because it was mine, personal. But,
right.
You know, I think that, you know, there was something about Pizza Hut back then and the faux Tiffany lamps and
the jukebox.
The salad bar that, like, I was thinking about about 80 salad bars and alfalfa sprouts.
Oh, yeah, they were all into the sprouts. Did you frequent a Pizza Hut that had, like, Pac-Man in it?
Oh, yeah, the Pac-Man table.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a necessity. Like, Pizza Hut, I mean, is it me or, like, I mean, I feel like it's not as good, but it's not just because I'm not a kid anymore.
I have not been in a Pizza Hut or eaten pizza in a decade, maybe, possibly more.
I mean, it was like the pinnacle for me back in the day. That was like the best, like that. And, you know, there was, let's see, the ground round.
I still like the ground round. I haven't been there in a while, but
is
still,
there one up there?
We have maybe one of the last ones here in Bangor. Yeah.
Oh, ours is gone. Our Bonanza, our ground round, they're all gone. We no longer have a Sizzler. You got one of those?
No Sizzler, no. No Sizzler, no Bonanza, no Bugaboo Creek.
Yeah, one time at Sizzler, I got the buffet, and then I got some, also the fried shrimp basket, and my dad told me I was going to turn into a goddamn balloon and float away. And I was kind of like, I feel like the opposite would happen if I'm, you know, if I'm eating a lot, I feel like I'm less likely to float away.
Right.
I feel like I'd be more anchored. But
say, you're hooked into Earth.
Logic, I guess I was just a little too smart. You know, that's the thing. I was just cursed with being too smart.
Now, Kerry said he, you know, he thinks about nostalgic lunches. He goes back to the classic, your mom making it for you, the grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Yeah, see, I didn't have, my mom does not, I don't think she likes tomato soup. So I was always the, for me, it was always the Campbell's chicken and stars.
Oh, yeah, nice,
or
nice.
Campbell's chicken noodle soup. And I like, and I still do this as an adult. Like, I'm honestly not satisfied until the spoon stands straight up with Ritz crackers. Like, when you put so many of them in that it turns into porridge, and literally the spoon can stand up in it. That's when I think your Campbell's soup is ready.
See, I like to put the saltine crackers in there.
Yeah, Ritz have, like, they're so buttery.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I like oyster crackers or more of like the saltine style. I prefer oyster crackers.
Mm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm going to put saltines in a soup when I get them in a time, you know, I mean, hey, I like saltines.
Now, were you ever a cold cut, a bologna and cheese kind of kid?
Definitely bologna and cheese. And it was also the time when, unfortunately, it took me until many years later, my first experience in Massachusetts, we talked about a bunch of times, to understand that roast beef wasn't that stuff that they used to make. My mom used to make me that, like, dark brown.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Like, yeah. I was always like, roast beef is, I just don't kind of get it. It just, it's like stringy. It's not very good. I do remember, and I remember actually rather enjoying, especially with tuna salad, was the Miracle Whip.
Oh, yeah. There was a time when I liked the Miracle Whip. I don't know what it was. It was, I guess it was a little sweeter.
Yeah, I think that's probably why it appealed. And then there was this one time for lunch when I hid behind the couch and I ate a whole bottle of Flintstones vitamins in one sitting.
That explains your strength. That makes sense now.
Exactly. That was my intro to addiction at a very early age. I was like, I just can't stop eating these, so why should I?
I got a Pebbles Jones.
Tell me not to.
I need Wilma now.
They were good. I mean, I don't know. Like, I thought they were pretty delicious.
Yeah, in retrospect, maybe making them taste like candy was not the best idea.
Right? I thought that. I also really liked the flavor of Dimetapp, too.
Yeah, well, see, and I like the St. Joseph chewable aspirin.
Oh, that's, I mean, I haven't tried that, but I could definitely get into that. Maybe I'll get a box of that tonight.
All right, now, when we talk about luncheon meat, yeah. Did you ever have Kerry liked it, the olive loaf? Or the macaroni and cheese loaf?
No, we never strayed into that realm. I still am kind of partial to the Hannaford macaroni salad.
Oh yes, sure,
those little tubs. And I, you know what I found out about it? I was like, why is this so good? Like, I don't get it. And I looked at the ingredients, and they use, it's actually low-fat yogurt in there.
Wow.
Really, because I was always like, there's something weirdly satisfying about it. I don't know what it was, especially with some hot sauce in it. But yeah, low-fat yogurt and that. But no, we never got into the olive loaf or any of that. I'm trying to think of...
I had a time where I liked, for about a year, I don't know how old I was, not very old, but I liked the Underwood deviled ham in a can.
Oh, see, I've seen that. I think that might be a slight generational gap for us.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
I don't think it was
ham
good.
Salad. Any time when I'm confronted with a platter of quote unquote finger sandwiches, I'm still kind of grossed out by the ham salad because this is not something like it's the worst if it's like, you know, someplace and you're not paying attention. You think you're about to bite into a chicken salad sandwich and you bite into a ham salad. That'll pretty much do it for you. And now I'm very careful if I'm.
See, when I see the finger sandwiches, I don't want the egg salad.
Oh, that's funny because I like the eggs. I didn't grow up with egg salad, but I really like it. And I will definitely, for some reason, trust it. I don't know why, because it seems like it goes against all my food intuition. You would think that would be like a Petri dish, but I don't know.
Now, are you young enough that Lunchables were around?
Yes. Lunchables were definitely around. Kid Cuisine.
Kid Cuisine, I remember that.
I mean, Lunchables, I was like, oh, this always gets the award for lamest dessert. Wow, are these sugar plums? I think, what is this? Like, I don't understand. I would always make sure I'd have one of those chocolate pudding fruit roll-ups or something as a backup.
Yeah,
for whatever lame dessert that Lunchables brought to the table,
right? And
the little bread,
and a pouch of Gushers.
Oh, Gushers! Yeah, Gushers, handy snacks, with a little red spreadable, little red spreader in there.
Oh yeah! Now I think we've had the Little Debbie, the Drakes discussion before, but
I think we have. Yeah.
But you know, any of those, of all of them, and if I see them, I have to run because I will grab a package of Funny Bones anytime.
Yeah, those are good. The only ones that I always thought were kind of like a punishment were the stupid Christmas tree cakes.
Oh, yeah, those are bad.
How are these gross? I don't understand. Again, it's like, how do you make a snack cake not good to like a seven-year-old? And there was something about those that I was like, these just are lame. And they're like, so I don't know. I don't like the Christmas tree cakes. Just not a fan. I mean, especially if I can get an oatmeal cream pie, why would I want a Christmas
cake? Right. And then, you know, just to cleanse the palate afterwards, you open that green foil wrapper and have yourself an Andy's Mint.
Ooh, an Andy's Mint. Yes, absolutely. They have different names regionally. In Chicago, they call them Frango Mints. They're like, because I remember somebody was saying like Frango, and I know what they're talking about, but I'm like, oh, an Andy's? And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, can you please pass the Capri Sun? So I can walk all of this Lunchable down because it's very dry.
Excuse me, I need more sugar. Let me drink another Sunny D.
Yeah, or Juicy Juice. Was another one.
You know, look at the bottle. It's like 50 grams of sugar. Yeah, that's fine. It's healthy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, I just have a, I remember we used to, like, mix the, we'd get, like, the cartons of, like, the lemonade. I always mix fruit punch and lemonade together over ice. So I guess, I don't know. It's funny. I remember I used to play Dungeons and Dragons on the weekends, and I'd go over to Hannaford and get one of those big deli sandwiches, and I'd get a whole 2 liter of Mountain Dew and a whole big bag of French onion.
Ooh.
And that seemed to be passable for me.
Now, in your house as a kid, did you have any of the classic ice cream treats that kids like?
Well, we had the Hoodsy Cups.
Oh, God, yeah. Classic.
Yeah, always we had Hoodsy Cups. My mom is still weirdly obsessed with Dove bars.
Mm.
They are really good. I mean, I have to admit, like, Dove bars are pretty delicious. That was usually what we had. I mean, it was like that, like Gifford's French vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, I was like the traditional ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, like the hood, like the, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. But once in a while, I liked it. I think they still make a version of them. I think they call them the strawberry shortcake.
That sandwich?
It was the ice cream on a stick with the little like pink and red sprinkles on the outside.
Yeah, there's like a coating on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, yep. I remember those. And actually, I was speaking of the day, the Flintstone push-up pops.
Oh, I remember those. Those were great.
Those were weirdly delicious, too. I don't know what was in them, but they were really good. And Klondike bars, of course.
Oh, my, yes. Yeah.
For, you know, as it turns out, not as much as I do for other things, but, you know.
But
it wasn't really high on my priority list of things as far as what I do for a Klondike bar. Yeah. But
you'd look at that package and it'd be like, I think there were 8 of them in there. And you think, well, that'll last forever. And then 2 days later, who took the last Klondike bar?
You had to really patrol those Klondike
bars. Right, yeah. Hey, Jimmy, what's that wrapper on your floor? Nothing.
I mean, it was pretty much all ice cream. It was a very thin layer of chocolate on the
right. Cake. Oh yeah, yeah.
It wasn't. I don't know. It kind of tasted more like ice milk to me than ice cream.
Right. It had that sort of Dairy Queen taste to it.
Yes, or like the kind of like old people love the ice milk, or like grandparents. Yeah, there's something about that. I don't know.
This is
like
better, Joe. Place. This is healthier for you.
Yeah, this is how it's ice milk to you. Yeah. Yeah, I don't. It was. I also, we can't forget, I mean, while we're on creamsicles.
Oh!
Creamsicle bars.
Oh, I like a creamsicle still.
I could literally have eaten like 10 of those in any given time. And I still love that flavor profile in like any dessert.
I'm with you on that. And you know, the old, nothing wrong with the old school fudgesicle either.
Oh, yeah. The fudgesicle. That's right. that was, or I call him the shirt destroyer too.
Right, and yeah, you'd always have that friend. You're like,
fudgesicle.
You're like, Dave, did you have a fudgesicle? How do you know? Because you're wearing it on your shirt and your lip.
Yeah, and I haven't really changed. I still stole myself, and I blame it on the fudgesicle.
That's it.
But I think we need to, the last lunch item, I think, that we need to cover. We got to talk about the, did you do the red hot dogs up there? Was that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Not L.L. Bean. W.A. Bean and Sons right here in town.
W.A. Bean. Yeah, Red Snappers.
Red Snappers.
Like the gas station. Like, even, like, from that little steamer, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're just delicious. I don't know. A lot of people, they're very, they're more polarizing than you would think. I think they're delicious.
I also used to like, and these are awful. I can't even imagine what was in them. I don't think they were made locally, but they had the hot dogs that had the cheese inside them.
Oh, see, I never got those, but anytime I go to Moody's Diner in Waldorf, I like their cheddar worst.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Mm.
It's like filthy and delicious. And yeah, like one of those things you're like, I don't need to talk about that I had it, but I'm definitely going to have it.
No question about that. Joe Riccio.
I remember that. I remember another classic for me was always the Mama Celeste pizza.
Oh.
Pizza for one, abbondanza, if you will. And it had that little disc in there that you would put on the microwave.
Oh, see, now I like the Stouffer's French bread pizzas.
Oh, yeah, or actually Elio's. I was more jam than Stouffer's.
Hey, before we go, Joe, tell me about what's coming up on the 10th, Stories Told Live.
Oh, yeah. So it's basically, so I know I did stand up last month, which is more of a traditional format, you know, like 5-minute set. This is more like a 10-minute long form telling one story. I haven't decided which story I'm going to tell, but as it turns out, I've got, you know, a few to choose from. So, yeah, it's going to be more like, almost like a telling room or, you know, or it's basically like a TED Talk, you know? It's essentially a TED Talk, but, you know, with no actual applicable lessons for business. So that's what it is. But anyway, yeah, that's going to be at Blue on July 10th. And last time we sold out, so get your tickets in advance. You want to drive all the way down and see me yammer on with other people who also, I'm sure, will have interesting.
Yeah, Karen Morgan, my old pal Chris Newcomb, all kinds of good people there.
Yeah, a lot of good people, right?
Like, nice.
It's a pretty solid lineup. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Joe, have yourself a nice retro lunch before you go that night, just to be ready.
I absolutely will, and enjoy the long weekend.
Thank you. Now, we're off next week. I can't do it two Fridays in a row without Carrie, so we'll catch you 2 weeks from today.
All right. Between now and then, I'm sure we'll find some new topic to charm the masses.
I have no doubt about it. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Thanks, Rich.